Hi, this is Dan Sheridan, and this is number 10 in our series on Paul's letter to the Romans. Great to be with you once again, and today we're going to be looking at Romans 1, primarily in the section Romans 1, 13 through 17. So why don't you pause right here and read Romans 1, verses 13 to 17. You know, it might even be a good idea, if you're feeling adventurous, to read Romans 1, verse 1 through 17. Just read that whole section again before we get into our studies here. All right, we are in Romans 1, verses 13 to 17, and in this passage, Paul talks about his debt. He had a debt. He felt an obligation to get the gospel out to the Roman believers, and Paul knew he had a responsibility. God entrusted to Paul the gospel of the grace of God, and this was a debt he was willing to pay. It was a delightful debt. Now, that word responsibility, that's not a popular word today, is it? Some actually associate responsibility with legalism. And I know someone once objected to me using the word responsibility because, as they said, it wasn't found in Scripture, that the word responsibility doesn't occur in Scripture. Well, that's true. The English word isn't found in Scripture, but what represents that English word is found everywhere in Scripture. Words like debtor, owe. You know, in Romans 1 here, he's a debtor. Romans 8, it says we are debtors to no longer live according to the flesh and so forth. We have words like owing, the debt of love in Romans 13. Paul says, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul says, present your bodies. Paul says, keeping the commandments of God is everything in 1 Corinthians. And basically, just about every exhortation we are given in the Scriptures, in Paul's letters included, comes under the word responsibility. Now, the 1828 Webster Dictionary defines responsibility as follows, and this is what he says: the state of being accountable or answerable as for a trust or office or for a debt. Now, truly, Webster had the Bible in mind when he wrote that. That's a biblical definition. As a matter of fact, in Romans 14, Paul says this, starting with verse 7, for none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all of us, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, Paul concludes, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Truly, we have been given a trust in this life, Paul is saying. What we do is important, and we have a responsibility. Now, I know some others have also objected by saying, well, responsibility and accountability are two different words, because as we're going to give account, they're the same concept. We have a responsibility for what we do, and we will stand before God when give an account. We have a responsibility. Paul says that the Gentiles in Romans 15:27 were debtors. He says that, and they received great blessings, these Gentiles, from the Jews and the Scriptures that came from the Jews and so forth. And thus, these Gentile believers were in debt to those Jews. And it was a delightful debt. It's a delightful debt. It's a debt of gratitude. How many of you have had someone do something wonderful for you and you want to pay them back? Obviously, love doesn't do something for others in order to get paid back, but you feel that you want to do something one day for them because of the great thing they've done for you. It's a gratitude thing. It's not a yoke on the neck, but it's a desire to return love showed by others. Now, again, here in Romans 1, the context is Paul's commission to preach the gospel of the grace of God. He was a debtor. He wanted to get out this wonderful message of the grace of God. He says he was a debtor to the Greeks. Greeks had great pride. And then it says also the barbarians. And the Greeks called all people who didn't speak Greek barbarians. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. There was a movie came out a number of years back called My Big Fat Greek Wedding. And the Greek father said in that movie, he said, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are Greeks and those who wish they were. And that's the Greek pride still exists with many of them today. But if you go back to that first century when Paul wrote, Greek wisdom basically ruled the world. Even though Rome conquered Greece, it was Greek philosophy that influenced Rome. In other words, the slaves taught their conquerors. The Greeks taught the Romans. And so the Greeks had a great pride with that. So we see that this great Greek pride here. And Paul says he was a debtor to Greeks and barbarians. And then he says the wise and unintelligent as well. That's a further distinction. And what we learn here is that both wise people and what might be called stupid people need the gospel. Human wisdom doesn't bring us closer to God, and stupidity doesn't drive us farther from Him. Aristotle isn't any closer to God than a backcountry farmer in the first century. Anyone can understand the gospel. It doesn't take special training to learn it. It's a simple message about what Christ did. The gospel is what makes people right with God. God provides the wisdom in the gospel. He brings the wisdom. It's the wisdom of God as well as the power of God. Read 1 Corinthians 1 for those details. So Paul had a debt, and he says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome." Paul had a debt, and he was willing. He was ready and willing to pay that debt. He was ready to preach the gospel to those who were in Rome. And by the way, do you know the word Rome means force? It was founded on force. If you look at the legends of the two brothers who quarreled over something, we won't get into the details, but one brother killed the other brother, and basically Rome was founded on force and basically going against one's own family. That was Rome. Rome ruled the world in Paul's day, and Paul was ready to go to Rome without any army behind him. Talk about courage. Rome ruled the world. It means force, yet Paul was willing to go to Rome by himself with the power of God. The power of the gospel was greater than Roman force. Rome means force, but Paul had the power of God and the gospel. Love conquers force. Sacrifice triumphs over the sword. Imagine a Jew heading to the world empire, weak as he was. Read how Paul describes how he came with weakness and trembling. Weak as he was, here he comes into Rome to herald the gospel of the grace of God. And you know how we ended up there in chains, to make it even worse. A man who didn't have great eloquence in chains in the place called Force, talking about God's power. Truly the foolish things of the world God chooses. So Paul had a debt and he was ready to pay it. Why? Because he was so proud of the gospel. He was proud of it. When he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ," he means he's proud of it. He didn't apologize for it. He was proud of it. He believed it and he heralded that great message of the gospel, the grace of God to others. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about God's righteousness. What does that mean? Also, we're going to talk about faith. What is faith? Is it positive thinking, or is it based on something more settled and more solid than just our feelings and emotions? We'll talk about that next time. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. Do your homework. Read Romans 1:1. To 5:11 at one sitting. It'll be that's the most important part of our studies, and it'll help you get a good grasp of this great letter, this foundational letter to the Romans. We'll talk to you again next time.